Welcome to a chat in the garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports, right here in a chat in the garden. Well, I had a great time, absolutely fantastic time, last Sunday. We had our monthly Advanced Academy with athletic administrators session, and usually I have a guest speaker or I lead the discussion, and we talk about subjects that I've seen that came up within the group or individual sessions that I have them. So week before, last month we did the Queen's Moves, being strategic with your moves career-wise. And some of the conversations came to not navigating well. And it usually happened because of how they saw things, perspective. And that's what the whole point of Queen's Moves is, to tell you that you do have more moves than anybody else on the board. So it just so happens that I belong to a mastermind, and I had a colleague that I saw that worked in corporate America, and she had a similar way of attacking some issues, and she's an engineer by trade. And I said, I think she'll be great. So I said, you know, are you available this Sunday? Mind you, I asked on a Thursday. And she was fantastic. I mean, I got notes galore. I'm going back. I bought her book. I'm just so glad I was able to bring it to the Advanced Academy. So I'm talking about LaShawanda Moore, the CEO of Elevate Success. Her topic with us on Sunday was leadership sabotage. Leadership sabotage. And it was so good. She talked about the five glitches, the five little things that pop up on us. And the first one was meeting someone, performing to meet someone else's expectations and comparisons. Oh, my goodness, that is, that's the number one thing. And social media sure doesn't help you with that. Giving way too much power to the inner critic. And I cover that a lot with my growth mindset tools that I use. But that's one of the dangerous ones. And then you can also try to block it. I try to play gospel music to drown out that inner critic and say, hey, you're not running this show. Focus on self. Try empathy. I thought that was interesting. And I think that's one of the ones that I said I need to work on because I hit straight to the point. I don't have any patience. So I wonder, can you have patience and empathy at the same time? That's something I'm going to look into. Number four, try to control the how. Now, this is for those who are definitely leadership and you have to delegate and you have an issue of delegating because they don't do it the way you do want to do it. So when I do my sessions, I usually say, let go of the perfectionist piece. And I also say, don't make assumptions because you can – it's how you communicate. And then when I do my staff retreat, oh, this is so important. This is called the way of the beaver. You tell the beaver you want the dam fixed by a certain date, but you don't tell them what materials to use. So if you have a sports supervision over sports, you don't tell a coach who to recruit, what play to, you know, what offense to run or defense or even in some cases, hopefully, what assistant coach to hire. But you give them the tools to do what is theirs to do. And so it's important to give your staff autonomy to take care of the objectives set in front of them. And so if you're one of those administrators that want us to say step by step, let's use a different word, micromanage, then that's going to be a problem. And then number five, because let's be honest, let me go back to number four, because if you try to control it all, then you got your hands still in that, and you're not going to be able to be elevated. You're not going to be able to advance, which is why it's called Advanced Academy. And over my 30 years, I would say at least, at least 25 years of it has been guiding other people and listening to their stories. And this is why I have such a great toolbox to help you advance, is the fact that you feel if you can control it, you can't get hurt. And if you're not willing to make yourself vulnerable, if you're not willing to share the load, if you're not willing to delegate, you will not be able to elevate. And, again, another term is advancing. And this is why I created this Advanced Academy, because there's some things that I hear or I see, and I'm like, that's why they're not advancing, and they don't know it. So the last thing that we covered were these glitches of leadership sabotage was number five, jumping to the what without sharing the why. And I think many people seek out these positions because they've been doing the work. They think of an athletic director. They've been managing, they've been doing it. They've been doing the paperwork. They've been doing the presentation. They might be doing the discipline and corrective action. But when you are the leader, you are the visionary, and you set the why, you're not doing the why. You're not doing the how. And, you know, I can hear people all the time, oh, he or she is never in the office. Well, that usually means they're getting some things done as the leader. So I just, for those who want to seek the athletic director position, know that your job is to set the why. Set the why. And then others will follow, depending upon how you set the why. And those who want to be in that seat, recognize that. Learn from that. How do they do that? You know, did they go to the golf outing and leave you in charge? Okay, what do you think they're doing at golf? They're not just trying to get their swing on. They're trying to get their connecting on. So I just thought it was really great, and I just love sharing the platform with other great speakers that I come across because sometimes you just can't hear it from me. And hopefully when I come back to it, it'll go like, oh, yeah, I heard that before. So, you know, you're saying, like, what is this Advanced Academy? Well, this Advanced Academy is our membership platform. There's a monthly fee. And we meet every month, every third Sunday at 9 p.m. And, again, I bring in guest experts or I lead a discussion. And I usually concentrate on a book or a subject or an area for at least a quarter. So that's like 3 months. And I usually address something that I hear that needs to be addressed. I listen to the need and how to feed the need. And so, and I've been doing this for at least 3 years now. And I have seen, we've had some women who have said, and some men. I had one guy who said that what we did in the Advanced Academy really changed their thought process and helped them advance. And so, and beyond the third Sunday, you get immediate access to all the previous podcast. I mean, not previous training. And so I put on inside the group, inside Chatting Garden, a list of some of the topics that we've covered. And one of them was working with donors, being intentional and confident in career decisions, resume. Jennifer did that. She was great. What is being strategic, chick? I just covered 2.0 on that. And gender facting and communicating, that's just a couple of things. So you get that immediately. And I'm uploading Sunday as we speak. You get immediate access to all of those, and it's do it on your own time. So that's the important part. And so then you do get a one-on-one session with me at least every quarter, every 3 months, because I'm going to say, hey, did you watch that video? Okay, go watch that. I had a young lady ask me about the resume. I said, no, go watch the resume session right there and then come back to me. But I think all your answers will be covered right there with that session with Jen Fry. And so I'm excited about the results I see. And I did this because I would do the retreats, but we never could really agree on dates. And I said, people need info now. So I started doing virtual before we were even, before the pandemic. And it's been working out well because now I have content from at least 3 years and allow you to get that training, and then we can talk about it from there. We can expand upon it in our one-on-one. And every quarter I also give an e-leadership book. And, hey, I'm excited because some of the books that I have shared, these women have become phenomenal. One of the ones, Strategic Chick, the author of that book is now the CEO of Ebony. Oh, my goodness. I need some help here. My brain it just went blank. But the young lady who ran for governor of Georgia, she had a book. And then she got a brand-new book, somebody just said. But here's the thing. Her book also had a workbook. So we went through the workbook. And she's the one, the reason I think that we were able to have a new president, because she turned the corner with Georgia. And Stacey, oh, goodness, somebody, oh, thank you, Stacey Abrams, yes. I was trying to get to my engineer to save my life. Thank you, Stacey Abrams. We concentrated on her for like 3 months, and before she became a household name. And so that's what I try to do. I'm an avid reader. I've got a couple of books on Doc that I really want to dive into that give some good insight on operations. And mind you, the beautiful thing is that we're having more women in sports and athletic administration write books. And so we have more memoirs and people to learn from. So if that is something that piques your interest, come and join us at advancewithmoniqueajsmith.info. Go to advancewithmoniqueajsmith.info. There is a initial entry fee that's a little bit more than the monthly fee, because you get immediate access to all our previous training. And then I really look forward to working with you one-on-one. So you get more than just me. You get the past training, and you get the networking. When I tell you what has grown from the individuals in there, we had a young lady who came in who was not a AD. She became a high school AD. And then the other individuals in the group all helped her in her role. I mean, helped her with templates. And now, to be honest, this is why it's really important to be in here. When you get into those thinking moments with your brain, because things ain't going well at work, where do you have a safe place to have the discussion to figure out how to change your perspective? This is what this is all about. So if this is something of interest to you, go to advancewithmoniqueajsmith.info to sign up for the Advance Academy. And the full name is Advanced Academy for Athletic Administrators. And so now I'm going to give you some other info. If you are a young professional in athletic administration, 1 to 2 years, and or, you know, a high school. And look, I'm excited about the high school young ladies learning about our profession, because that's how we're going to increase this pipeline. So I'm excited because Kiki Baker Barnes does have a leadership academy. July the 8th through the 11th academy. Now, I will say, I know the scholarships ended on Friday, but you can still apply to attend. So it's July 8th through 11th, and she's combined the teens and the young professionals. And her brand is called So You Want a Career in Athletics. And so I would say just go to the website to see if the scholarship is still available, because she may have just said, I'll open up and keep it a little longer, not sure. But, yeah, the tuition is only $249. It's 3 days to pique your interest. And so I'm excited about that. And what I'm really excited about it is, you know, there's two times that we meet in person. Well, I'm not really ready to do all that 1,000%. I am thinking about some things about having an in-person event myself. Usually my in-person events are tied to another event like NACTA. And so since NACTA is going to be virtual, but then NACTA is meeting in July, I'm going to still stick with our date. And so we're going to be virtual again for our listener appreciation reception. Again, it will be virtual Monday, June the 15th. From 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And, you know, we have a great time. We have a great time. We have an MC. We have a DJ. And guess who has got a book coming out and is going to be doing her book launch there? I just said her name earlier. Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes. Yes. She's going to be doing her book review, doing this and reception. And so, and you know, I might have a surprise for you. Someone else called me about launching their book at the reception too, and doing a book signing, or virtual book signing. And so I'm crossing my fingers that she comes on board, because I believe reeds are seeds, and that's what I do. I plant seeds. And the most important part is we networking. You get a chance to network. So we use the Zoom platform, and we have games and prizes. Who does not love games and prizes? So, and this is all, and I'm just so grateful for D.D. Merritt of the NCAA for finding value in what we do here in Chattanooga Garden. And so she is our, I think it's her third year being a sponsor of this event, and I'm so grateful. So what a blessing. So you need to register, though, to get the link, all right? It's not a Facebook Live. It is a Zoom, on a Zoom platform. For us, it's our once-a-year listener appreciation reception. And so to sign up, go to Monique A.J. Smith, for S, Monique A.J. Smith's ZoomRoom.com. Monique A.J. Smith's apostrophe, not apostrophe, but pretend there's apostrophe and put an S. ZoomRoom.com, Monique A.J. Smith, ZoomRoom.com to register. And I just got a email this morning from a young lady who just became aware of our magazine, Significance in Athletics and Sports Magazine. And you know what she said? She said, I didn't know you were into the sports like that. I'm like, girl, you don't know? 30 years, girl, 30 years. 22 years old, I was sports information director. 28 years old, I was an interim athletic director. At 32 years old, I was athletic administrator for the CIAA. And I think, what's the other thing I told her? Oh, yeah, and I think I said at 45, I became a full-time entrepreneur. And at 48, I became an adjunct professor. So that's my journey, and I'm excited about planting that seed. And look, she just texted me as I got on the air, and my eyes glanced upon it. Y'all, the girl was an intern with the CIAA, and but I wasn't her supervisor. So I can't wait to catch up. But, again, the magazine brought us together, y'all. Now, she has her own platform, which I can't tell you the name of. I think it's called Getting the Game, and it's on, you know what? Funny thing. I think she is in the magazine. Yeah, because we have one male contributor who wrote about two women that's in his platform, because he, it's called Emmanuel Washington, he covered women fans. He's doing a documentary about women football fans. And I think he covered it about her. I really think so. And so, again, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, go get the magazine, people. Please, please, please. And if you already have the magazine, I cannot beg you enough to go and write a review. Don't just do the stars, because I can't see who did that. And I can't give you the gift if you don't tell me who you are. But I'm going to tell you, my concern is, because sometimes when I type in significance in athletics and sports, my magazine don't show up on Amazon. I need folks to know that I'm legit, okay? So we need to go in there and talk about it and say, liked it, found some people, grew from it, whatever, okay? Need that help. But if you want the PDF version, see, mind you, if you buy the PDF version, you can still do a review. Go to payhip.com/seasonempowerment. Again, payhip.com/seasonempowerment to get the PDF version. Got to do my commercials. Jolie Robinson of Stepping to Win has taken her winning ways to the financial investor game, and she's willing to teach it to you. And so we all need additional income streams, and I hope everybody got all their taxes done. So the deadline was the 17th. And so, hey, they leave room for you. They leave room for you to have consulting additional income. There's a little line right there. Okay? And even when you invest, there's a little line for you to put that in there about your dividend and all kind of good stuff. So they expect you to have additional income is my point. All right? Let me back this up. Legit additional income. The IRS expects or welcomes that. So let us do that. So to find out more information about this additional income that I'm talking about, this investor game, contact Jolie Robinson at 980-298-2231. 980-298-2231. Or you can email her at jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. Again, jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. I just finished talking about great books. Tawana Smith, she actually is a former professional basketball player herself. And she's on getting her PhD. I'm so excited for her, because she actually writes and teaches from that perspective of a researcher. Surviving the Likes of Professional Athletes Playbook to Avoiding the Curse is a outstanding resource for our community, because it assists us in being able to assist our athletes that are going to the next level, and we may not have been there ourselves. So we actually have some documentation of some people who've gone through that and what to expect. And don't just take my word for it. The NFL purchased the book for all the participants of the Celebration Bowl. So it's legit. It's legit. And she is on Amazon in three different formats: paperback, audiobook, and ebook. So get yours today. So I think I've covered everything I could have here for today, and which brings me to our guest today, and I should have I should have asked how to say her name. So hopefully my engineer can help me out here to make sure I say her name while I talk about her. Now, the bio that she has doesn't give me the breakdown of all the stops she made. I do need to know how to pronounce her first name. Okay. Yes. And so I'm excited about hearing the stops, but I do know that this person has got some extensive background to actually cover what I just finished talking about, which is preparing our students for the next, whether it be professional or career-wise. And I'm excited about hearing her strategies because, again, her experiences would probably lend itself to really make that happen. And, y'all, I can't wait to hear about how is it to work with who? Jennifer Williams, the winning AD. The winning AD. And, I mean, I remember Jennifer when she was an intern. So when I tell you, I was like, oh, yes, this is going to be fantastic. Because you get it, because most time you ask, how does it feel to be a winner? But now I can ask somebody who actually worked with her and how does she win? How, you know, oh, my goodness, this is not going to be, okay. That didn't really help me. Let's see. Kaviva Sia. I wish I had done this. Y'all, please forgive me, because y'all know I'm dyslexic. So, you know, you telling me to sign out does not help me. So I'm going to just say, Ms. Brown, the assistant AD for academic services at Alabama State University, and she can really tell me how to pronounce her name herself. So welcome to the garden, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Good morning, dear. Please forgive me. Tell me how to pronounce your first name.
Kavisia.
Kavisia. Please forgive me, dear. I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here. I've listened to quite a few of your podcasts, and it's very exciting to be in the number.
Well, girl, you have got some great experiences, and I'm like, okay, I've got to have her. So I need you to break it down, because your bio just says, oh, she's got plenty of little bit. I'm like, no. I need to know from college to now, okay? So let's go.
Okay. So I actually have a pretty different story from a lot of people that's been in the sports, because they usually are a student athlete or they've been, you know, geared towards that way for a while. I actually started out going to be a doctor of occupational therapy. And so me starting out that way helps me to connect with my students who are trying to decide on what degree they come in with a certain degree, and they change their mind and they badger themselves about changing their mind. But finding out that I changed my mind and I'm where I am now kind of empowers them. So undergrad, I was pre-occupational therapy, set to go back to school to go immediately into a program that's for your doctorate of occupational therapy. And over that summer, I took on an internship in a sports department at Tallahassee Community College. And from there, my life completely changed. So my internship was working with the programming for their rec department under Equine Burroughs. And during that time, they hired a new women's basketball coach who we met on his first day there, and he had been watching me. He approached me. He said, you know what? How would you like to be a part of my staff? And so from there, I started to be an assistant coach for basketball. And in that summer, I decided to pull out from going to occupational therapy school and sign up for my master's in sport management. Mm-hmm. And so got into the sports management program at Florida A&M, enjoyed it, loved the professors, loved the knowledge that they brought in from different aspects of sport. And with coaching and working with students directly, I knew and especially from occupational therapy, my niche is helping people and further developing and meeting people where they are, whether it's medical or academically or just developmentally. And so I knew I wanted to work directly with student athletes. And so as part of our program, we had a capstone where we needed to intern. And I was set to intern with the Braves. I was packing my things. And one day at practice, I received a call from an internship I submitted for, but didn't really believe in myself that I was going to get it. And it was with the Olympics. And so the Olympics called me. I jumped up and down and screamed. And so immediately I interviewed and I said yes. And so with the Olympics, although I wasn't working with student athletes, I got to learn a little bit more of the business side of sports and recreation athletics. I worked with partnerships, big partnerships that work with the Olympics, as well as I did work with Olympic athletes in talent identification, so placing and keeping metrics for the A team and the B team. And so from there, I was like, okay, I got to get into collegiate athletics. I've got my spark. I'm excited. And I took a detour, and I started doing mental health case management. And so while doing mental health case management, I thought I was completely knocked off my path. And so a lot of things come into perspective in our lives as we get further along and we think, you know, we're not in the right area, but I feel like, you know, you realize you're always in where you're supposed to be. And so from there, I moved on to golf, and I worked for the World Golf Foundation. An umbrella under there was the first T, and so the developmental part of teaching the game of golf, morals and values, for kids growing up. And so I actually was a first tee kid. My dad used to take me and enroll me in the first tee when he would go play golf as a kid. And so I knew about that business, and I knew about, you know, their mission. And so I started working for them, but I still had that appetite for wanting to be in collegiate athletics, although it still was developmental that I set out to be in collegiate athletics. So from there, I came to Alabama State University, where I started off as an academic advisor, and now I have, you know, transitioned and promoted into the assistant athletic director for academic services. And so when I say about, you know, the other parts of, you know, through my path and how sometimes we get discouraged and say, well, this is not leading me to where I need to do and where I feel like I need to be. Looking back, everything puts together and where I am and where I need to be, learning about collaboration with partners and making those partnerships for our student development, learning about programming and being fiscally smart with my internship with the Rec Center, student development and one-on-one student engagement as a coach. And then that mental health piece ties it all the way over, especially dealing with, you know, student athletes, specifically now during, you know, we went through that COVID pandemic, and so everything makes sense.
Well, I got a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
So what year did you work the Olympics? I mean,
2015.
Okay, and so was there, did we go somewhere? Or, I mean, was this an offseason?
We didn't. So I was a part of the process of when I had to keep a big secret about the Boston bid. And then, you know, as we know, Boston decided that they did not want to go that way. But a part of that process of the Boston bid, you know, getting put together, the presentation, I was there when we saw the video before America saw the video. It was really a really cool experience working with the Olympics.
So that's interesting, because putting a bid together, I worked for the CIAA for 13 years, and so beyond the bid process was putting together the request, you know, the RIP request for proposal, RFP, and then to see them to come in for different cities who want to host the CIAA. And then when they get it, then you have to make what's on paper come to life, which doesn't necessarily have a very smooth transition. So, but yeah, I mean, because you got to say exactly what it is you do want, and then you have to make it happen. Because most of the time, to be honest, my experience, which is, I don't, let me back this up. So, I worked the Olympic Festival in 95, and then I worked the Olympics in 96. And I like the feel of creating something, you know, every 4 years. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or, and so I remember putting something down that I would want to do that. And then I ended up working in a conference office, which is very similar because, again, you're having championships and you may move around. And, you know, not every city is equal to what they can provide. And then the sponsors and what they want to get out of it. And so that is something very extensive background that you had even as an intern, because you actually see. Now, what was the response when they didn't get it? How did they unfold
it was discouraging.
Themselves?
Huh? It was discouraging. Like it was a little quiet in the office for a while because we were all excited about it, especially with the work that was put in behind it, the vision mm-hmm. for, you know, the city. It was very exciting, and so when it didn't happen, it was a little discouraging.
Well, I guess that's a really great experience for you when you're dealing with students and their disappointment. That's a big disappointment, and it's like a city disappointment or country disappointment versus an individual. And so you watching other people doing it at an early age probably set you up to understand that you all fail forward, because the things you go through to prepare for that still is there. You know, the financial pieces that you did, you learned probably some new marketing tools and those kind of things. My second part I wanted to talk about was the golf piece. Did you happen to see last month's guest, Doach?
Yes.
Girl, since I've had her on, I've had more people to join that have connection with First Tee. So I was tickled pink when I just heard that you did First Tee as well.
Oh, yeah, I love the First Tee. It's, you know, a lot of kids, and I've seen a lot of kids transition out of it that were behind me in the program, but it's funny how, you know, one of the commercials was like, you know, I learned morals and values, and then I also learned to play golf along the way. Like, it's not, you know, they're not forcing it. They're forcing the value and the morals piece to make a better person. And develop a better person, and then you just happen to end up being an awesome golfer after going through that program. And so I really like the foundations for that program, and I like working there.
So are you still a golfer now?
I still golf. I don't golf as much as I used to because, you know, in golf, we actually golfed quite frequently throughout the week working in that sector. But I try to get out there here and there.
That's good. Now tell me, how did you meet Jennifer Williams and work with her?
Okay, so I actually met A.D. Williams my first day coming here for a visit and receiving the advising job. And so at that point, she was not A.D. Williams. She's been here, I think, 1 year longer than I. But I met her coming here to Alabama State. And so, you know, this is my first taste of different people within collegiate athletics prior to some people who I would speak to and coming into the business or trying to get into the business. And, you know, I have the opportunity of working with the person who is the top across the country,
mm-hmm.
the top woman leader. And so it's very empowering to be a part of this staff and to be here at Alabama State, with the winning AD. And
oh,
so,
yeah.
It feels good.
I know it does, girl. I mean, I can hear it now. And another one. And another one. Oh, wow. Now, but so you were going So she wasn't the one who found you. Who found you to bring you to Alabama State?
It was Dr. Brown, who sat in this position prior to. And so I interviewed Dr. Brown was the assistant AD for academics. Melvin Hines was the athletic director here. And as I transitioned in, some transitions happened, and AD Williams became the AD while I was here. And under her guidance, our department, you know, has, like you said, become the winning school, especially here in the SWAC, but winning as far as in pouring into each other too outside of conference offices.
So based on your journey, how often have you had a female supervisor?
I can actually say, except for when I coached, was on the coaching staff, and for when I was in the recreation department, all of my supervisors have been women. With the Olympics, my supervisor was a woman, and with the first T as well. I've actually been, and with mental health, I think I've been afforded the opportunity to see myself in the position that's governing me. And so it has been very empowering along the way to be able to see that and to experience that.
Now, you're blessed. You know that? You're really blessed because that's a rarity. Hopefully it becomes a norm. I really do.
Right.
Because that makes a difference. That makes a difference. Well, my wonderful engineer tells me that it's time for a commercial. And so what we will do is we will take a short break here on the Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith on the Chat in the Garden. We will continue chatting with Ms. Brown from the Women's SWAC Institution, Alabama State University. She's over academic success. We're going to talk about that next.
This is Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes, founder of So You Want a Career in Athletics. Do you know a young girl who needs help navigating her career? She may be the perfect candidate for So You Want a Career in Athletics. So You Want a Career in Athletics is designed to equip the next generation of women leaders with the tools they need to succeed. So You Want a Career in Athletics is accepting applications for our two virtual summer academies for girls, June 17th through June 20th, and young professional women, July 8th through July 11th. Discover your unique leadership profile. Develop relationships with industry experts. Determine strategies to help you thrive in your sports career. For more information, visit www.syw.acia.com. Again, that's www.syw.acia.com.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, in the chat in the garden with Sniffins Blooms in athletics and sport. Well, let's talk about the winning in the classroom at Alabama State University. How is that going?
I think it's been going pretty well. We've won SWAC All Academic for the past 2 years here. And so we don't just win on the field, but we also win in the classroom. And my phenomenal staff and myself, we love that, you know, the things that we have in place have been working for us and for our students to help us, you know, meet those benchmarks.
Well, I had lunch yesterday with Janice Lavallee of Hampton University Academics, and this is phenomenal just to hear her. I have no idea what she's talking about, but because I teach at Hampton, and she tells me about one football player that's like 15 hours away from graduating. I almost cried right there. I was like, oh my God, it's a beautiful thing. So let's talk about those highs and how some strategies that you go about having those moments to have professors to want to cry.
The moments that make you want to cry?
Yeah, like me. Like, I've had this young man in my class for the last 3 years, and to hear that he's like 15 hours from graduation just brings me joy. Because, honestly, his whole concentration has been about the NFL. So how do you motivate when their motivation is not the class but the next level?
Well, And just being the type of person I am, first we got to talk about, you know, get real with student athletes as far as, you know, having your plan A, your plan B, and plan C, and making all plans work simultaneously so that, you know, if you get to go to the league, you go to the league and I'm happy. But if you don't get to go to the league, we already have been working on your plan B and your plan C. But what happens when you transition from, you know, our care out into the real world? And so, you know, having those talks and having those plans in place, being, you know, the relationships is really, you know, the thing that drives the students, because if they don't feel like you care, they're not going to care, especially those students who are more geared towards wanting to go to the league. And so, you know, just outlining possibilities, outlining, you know, things that, you know, could, you know, benefit them, staying on top of them and making them apply for things. Because a lot of times we have things out there and, you know, with, you know, a lot of people have different platforms or institutes or internships, and it's oftentimes that you sit there and you're like, okay, we need some more people to apply because, you know, sometimes they self-discourage themselves. It's like, you know, I'm not going to get it, so I'm not going to apply anyway. But being on top of them to make sure they follow through, because the follow-through changes everything, you know. I wouldn't have went to the Olympics had I not followed through and applied anyways, even though, like I said earlier, I didn't think I was going to get it. So, you know, having those talks and also being transparent with, you know, my journey in getting to where I am and the possibilities that, you know, just putting your foot out there can take you. And so, you know, my favorite moments are seeing not just graduation, but seeing my kids play overseas or writing a letter for grad school. I love that. So they can, you know, pursue to the next level. Getting that internship that we pushed them for. And I feel like every internship that my students have went for, they've received. And so, you know, those are the things that, you know, make me cry. I cry at graduations, you know, because you spend so much time with them, and to see them move on. But to see them move on prepared is the part that gets me emotional, because that means we did our job.
And we didn't even talk about APR. See, I believe there's more than the APR, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't talk about it per se, but the second magazine is coming out of Significance in Athletics and Sports, and Dr. Roxborough, who worked for the NCAA at the time and, you know, kind of helped the schools with APR, she has a article in the second magazine and said using data to get to your dollars. And so I'm excited about that, because it's just funny because we always talk about how she's a geek and she loves the numbers and she loves the data. And I love to see it in a black woman. But what part of how do you use that data to communicate what you need for your student athletes?
In teaching them what it means, a lot of student athletes don't know, you know, how they impact their team. They just know that they're playing, and so you know, teaching those student athletes what it means. What, you know, the different things and the benchmarks that you have to reach, what does that mean for you? And so when they better understand that, they can make better decisions in progressing. But, you know, letting them know what it is, it's not a secret. You know, everything is out on the Internet. So taking that and using that and making a plan moving forward of, you know, if someone is, you know, not doing too well, how we're going to move forward and, you know, what this means for you. And if you are doing well, celebrating it. So oftentimes we forget to celebrate the ones that are doing well because it's, you know, we expect that. But it's still a celebration because, you know, all student athletes, it doesn't come easy to them. And so, you know, these things when they actually do well and the numbers are, you know, are well, it calls for a celebration.
And you all have been doing a lot of celebrating. I mean, that is just phenomenal. I'm like, oh, my goodness. But I'm going to ask a question that I'm not trying to taunt it, but I'm just trying to state a point. Do you have too many students in the portal?
I don't think more than a usual school, no. We don't.
So, I mean, that's an interesting point, too, because, I mean, that's where, because you talked about building relationships, and that's where I had a client recently that asked me to speak to their coaches and do a workshop about how do you help coaches be able to prepare for them, for the next student who is portal prone, you know what I mean? Like, kick the button, hit the button, hit the button. And what I said, I created this workshop called Newly Committed. It's like the newlywed game. And it's about relationship. Do you really know me? Or you just know me for what I can do for you? And I just think that's and being at an HBCU, and you're an HBCU grad, and the family feel, but it's still there. You have to say, hey, I still care about you as a person and what's going to happen to you after you have on this uniform. Would you say that's been a difference?
Yes, yes. I think that's, you know, that last piece that closes it, the gap, is having, you know, being able to identify, being that I was there, being that they know that you can identify. That closes the gap.
And you said you coach, but you didn't say that you were an athlete. Did you say that?
I wasn't, not in college. Throughout high school and middle school, I can say I've had a hand in almost every sport. My parents were really, really pushing towards, you know, getting out there, being active, not, you know, you don't have to stick to one sport. So I've dabbled in quite a few sports, you know, like I said, golf. I've even, you know, taken fencing lessons, tennis, swimming. Like my first sport was actually swimming. I was on the city swim team and used to swim on the weekends. And so, yeah, I wasn't a college student athlete, but I have been an athlete growing up.
And where are you from?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. Okay, all right. The lady that I mentioned that checked out the magazine, she's out of Jacksonville, Florida. And the guy that wrote that piece about women, the number one fan, female number one fan about football, he's in Jacksonville. And so what I am excited that we have finally met virtually. I've seen your name a lot of places, and I know that Jennifer has talked about you as well. And so it's wonderful to finally have a chance to talk to you.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. Thank you for having me.
No problem, no problem. And as always, thank you for having my back and being my researcher, my engineer, Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions. She's a wonderful VA, and I've known her for over 30-some years. So, well, no, not 30. I'll say over 20 years, over 20 years, because she's not that old. So join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates and show guests and podcast follow-ups on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.